Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that something simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Meredith Huck, owner and principal designer of House of Huck, based out of Milford, Connecticut. In this episode, Meredith shares how a home renovation triggered a creative spark that evolved into her newly launched interior design business. We also discuss the many resources that Meredith credits to the development of her business, from college sports and her previous career in sales to design business coaches and podcasts. She's leaving no stone unturned on her journey to building a successful and profitable design business. She may be new to the biz, but she has a lot to share. So if you're in your first year of business, this episode is for you. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and more locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform for interior design professionals. The business of design is complex and requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has spent years responding to the needs of the interior design community and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial to explore and experience all that Design Manager has to offer. And now, our conversation with the newest member of the Design Biz Survival Guide podcast tribe, Meredith Huck. Well, Meredith, welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you.
It is so good to be here. Thank you, Rick.
So, Meredith, we actually met on Instagram, so I appreciate you following the podcast and enjoying the podcast. And we started a conversation, and I thought, you know what? Let's continue this conversation on the podcast. I think you're in a very interesting place in your career that a lot of people can relate to. So we're going to talk about it. But before we do that, let's talk about you just a little bit personally. You know, where do you live? Where are you from? Tell us about your family, and then we'll dig into the business stuff.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, again, thank you for having me. Yes. I like total fangirl moment. I listen to all your podcasts. They are amazing. So thank you. Thank you. And I hope I can add some value to some of your other listeners. But yes, I am the owner and principal designer of House of Huck here in coastal Connecticut. But more importantly, much more importantly, I am a mom and a wife. My husband Jim and I have two little ones. They're in between like the toddler stage and the kid stage. I don't totally know what to call them, but Kennedy is 3 and Landon is 4. And we absolutely have our hands full. I definitely do, just juggling mom life and work life. And my husband travels a whole lot for business. So that's always exciting and fun when, you know, you're solo parenting and trying to work and trying to parent at home. But we live, like I said, here in coastal Connecticut. We've been here for about 4.5 years now, and so far so good.
Cool. So Connecticut. I don't think I've had anyone on the show from Connecticut. You're going to be the first.
How about that?
So two little ones, and you decided, hey, let's just go ahead and throw a business into the mix as well.
Yeah, like, why not? I know. It was super crazy and insane, and like everything totally happens for a reason, right? But when you're in it, maybe it doesn't feel that way. It was just kind of like a random, unexpected chain of events this summer. And yeah, I said, YOLO, you only live once. Let's give this a go. And here I am.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs who have kids. And I mean, much credit to all of you. I mean, if you can keep a couple of toddlers in line and keep that household together, running the business of design is a piece of cake in comparison. It really is. It's probably the very best practice for running a business of design there is.
Oh, for sure. No, I mean, I am a very, very type A. I do like to be in control. Probably good that I started my own business, right? So it can be, you know, I'm calling the shots and whatnot, but especially like back when, I won't say the C word, but when the right. pandemic started, right in 2020, early 2020, I was working full-time in corporate software sales and had at the time a 1- and 2-year-old home. My husband had to be in the office every day. And so many of my friends were like, oh, just throw them in front of the TV. They'll be fine. But that's not like, I'm not anti-TV by any means, but I just can't do that. I feel like I have to be the best mom and the best employee and whatnot. So it was insane.
I'm sure.
Juggling like the... If you're a mom, you know this, the busy toddler activities with work and emails and lots of late nights, Rick. Lots of late nights.
That was a tough year. I think a lot of people learned a lot about themselves. And, you know, listen, it was just me and my husband in the house. And I was like, dude, I am not used to seeing you this much. Like, shut that door.
Totally. So my husband actually has started a new job since the pandemic and whatnot. And I mentioned earlier, he travels for a living, but travel kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so you're here for the whole entire week, all day, every day. And my office is, I mean, I have an office in the basement, but I'd like to be upstairs. There's more light in the kitchen. And he'd come up and I'm like, you're snacking again.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. I love him to pieces, but yeah.
Wow. I think it was just a phone. I'm like, hang up that phone or close the door. It was all day. I had no idea. I learned a lot.
I got you, Rick. I got you.
So Meredith, you said that, so you just recently launched your business and you just mentioned that you were in a corporate position before that. What was that exactly?
Yeah. So I actually have 13 years of corporate software sales. So I'm not your typical designer in the fact that I didn't go to school for it. I don't have a background in buying or fashion merchandising or never worked for a design firm. I know a lot of my fellow designer friends have kind of come from at least sort of kind of creative backgrounds. Not the case at all. So yeah, 13 years of corporate software sales and 0 years of interior design.
And what prompted you to pursue the business of design?
Yeah, so I've always just kind of had an eye for design, if you will. I've always enjoyed those, you know, HGTV shows, right? Sure. Netflix Dream Home Makeover. Who doesn't? When I met my husband, gosh, 7-8 years ago now, I discovered, wow, he's so handy. He renovated our entire house with his own bare hands, no help. Well, aside from my younger brother, who was help for about 5 minutes until he gashed himself on some tile, and that's neither here nor there.
But he still deserves some credit.
I did want to give him a little shout out, but yes, he did it. So my husband, Jim, did it all himself. And I realized, I mean, I say how easy it is. He made it look easy, but we didn't have to deal with the cost of outsourcing. So we did a lot more projects and we designed a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I think just over time, you know, I'd have friends reach out, hey, can you, you know, design this bathroom? And I wasn't actually doing the renovations, but I would make the selections. One thing just kind of turned into the next, and I reached a turning point this summer with my corporate job and found myself on July 7th, 2021 saying, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to give it my all. My children are young. At the time, they were 2 and 3. And I think I'm a darn great employee, coworker, business owner. If it didn't work out, then in 2 years, my children would both be school age. They'd be in school full time, back to corporate software sales. I go. So I at least kind of felt comfortable making such a risky decision. Yeah. again, knowing that I've done very well in my 13 years in software sales with, you know, president's clubs and bonuses and promotions and whatnot, that I had, you know, I wasn't worried about having to go back to corporate. But gosh, what are we? September was my first month of actually making revenue for the company. There's zero chance I will go back.
That door has closed.
That door is shut. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, it's always great to have a backup plan. And that's a reoccurring theme on the podcast. We talk to a lot of designers, and I appreciate the fact that they're usually, if not always, willing to talk about their previous career and what they've brought from their previous careers and how they've leveraged it in their current design business. And also that kind of cushion that it provides for them in a whole bunch of different ways, which helps take that leap. It adds just a little bit more comfort to taking that leap, which I know is scary and risky for sure.
Absolutely. And I really do credit, though. Totally give credit where credit's due. Really unraveling the onion, so to speak, pulling back the layers. So I played college soccer at NC State, a Wolfpack. And a lot of my dedication and drive and commitment and ability to multitask and prioritize and be organized, et cetera, really stemmed from playing at such a high level. But also, I mean, I was there to get an education, and just being laser focused on, now granted, you don't get paid, right, to play college sports, but I mean, I had a scholarship, and if I did anything to jeopardize that, well, shoot, now I'm looking at like a pretty hefty, college tuition. So, focusing there, although that wasn't a job per se, really kind of spearheaded then my corporate background, getting my first job in software sales, and just kind of like snowballing and learning the ins and outs of the business. I really, really credit to the success early on, because when you're starting, you don't know, how do you charge? Is it fee? Is it hourly? Is it percentage? Is it, and what is it and how and why? So, you know, getting my SOP, my standard operating procedures in order right away, being organized, looking, I don't want to say like fake it till you make it by any means, but I didn't want anyone to know that it was my first month making money for House of Huck.
Right.
I didn't want that perception. I think that's just really, really important. To just have some of that stuff really buttoned up.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it right, it should look like you've got a half a dozen clients going and like you've been doing this all along. And it's not about, you know, it's not about lying to anyone or misrepresenting, you know, who you are or what you're doing. It's just about taking accountability and responsibility for your business. Where are some of the places that you went to find that information? Because I think one of the great things about our conversation, our pre-conversation, and this conversation on the podcast is, you know, you're in a place where you've just recently gathered information and you're still gathering information from a whole bunch of different resources. And if you could share those with the listeners, if, in case they're in the same position, you know, maybe they're at a place where they're like, who else can I ask? Where else can I go? Where did you get the basic information from?
Absolutely. Your podcast, for sure. I think if you haven't made that jump yet, maybe you still are doing whatever is not interior design. Mm-hmm. So whatever that life is, whatever it looks like for you, while you're folding laundry, vacuuming, driving, whatever it may be, seriously, listen to the podcast. I mean that. There's so much value in hearing how other people do it. And maybe I'll take myself, for example, maybe you don't do it exactly like I do, but maybe you take 3 of the 10 nuggets that I'm going to offer throughout the podcast and you go implement that. So I definitely would recommend, listening to podcasts. Number one, number two, for sure. And maybe this is the sales person in me. That is why I just love connecting with people, both personally and professionally. Network. Yes, it's a little uncomfortable now with, again, the pandemic, but which is going to date this podcast for the next couple years.
Okay.
But reach out on, so I'm a big Instagrammer. I love Instagram. I met you via Instagram,
right? It worked.
Reach out, ask. So I think that you'd be really surprised at, and we'll just be specific to interior designers, the designers that are willing to share information, to share their price sheet, to share their process. That is definitely something that I have benefited from so greatly. Actually, I have a friend, his name is Barry. He's half of the Brownstone Boys, which I think I'd shared with you when you and I connected. Funny enough, we actually worked at the same corporate software job 3 years ago. He left on a Tuesday. I left on a Thursday to go to another corporate job, but he left to do his YOLO moment and take his business full time.
Right.
Super, super successful. Barry and his partner Jordan right now, but being able to, reach out to him and ask him questions and how does he do this? He was just on, the Magnolia Network's, I think it's called a designer's point of view. I hope I'm right in saying that. And I was asking him, how'd you get there? What was your pitch like? Talk to me about the process. Yeah. So I think being able to lean on others is just so, so, so helpful. And we were all in your shoes once. And I still all the time am reaching out to other designers asking, oh goodness, a billion questions. I think that those would be my two recommendations, podcasts and then just networking.
Yeah. And you know, I naturally have to agree with the podcast part as well as the networking part. I'm a big believer and supporter in networking. I think it's very important. And you know, you can't rely on Google alone. I know that it's a wonderful, wonderful tool, but really, I know you can find anything on Google, and we joke about it all the time, but it's so much more valuable to pick up that phone and make that connection. And I know it's a little uncomfortable, especially these days in the age of technology where no one picks up the phone and calls each other and no one really interacts face-to-face as much as we used to, but there's so much value in it. And to your point, people will tell you all day long, our design community has changed. It's completely transformed from when I kind of entered the design community back like in 2007, when people were very tight-lipped. And we talk about this all the time on the podcast. And I think everyone that comes onto this podcast and everyone that is part of our design community agrees that at one point in their career, they were in a place where information wasn't shared and they felt kind of like, hey, this doesn't seem right. We should be helping each other. And now, you know, enter the design community of today where, like you said, people will share information. You know, there's plenty of work for everyone. And so it's a really good time to be a designer.
Oh my goodness. I could not agree more. And it's, I mean, also just like be a good person, right?
Right.
Like that's super trendy. Be a good person.
Everybody's doing it.
Right? I know. Sign me up. It just, it does come back. Not that you should do anything again to get something in return, but it all comes full circle. I do promise that. And, you know, no one's asking, or maybe people are, you don't have to. I was going to say, no one's asking for your W-2 per se,
right. But
why not share? There are, how many people are in this world? A lot of people.
Seriously.
There's a seat at the table for everyone, in my opinion. So,
Sure. Yeah,
I think, leaning on, again, I use Instagram. Some people do Facebook or TikTok, or I'd love to eventually have a blog or newsletter one day. Not there quite yet. A little too many balls in the air right now, but you know, use your resources and go get them.
We're taking a quick break to acknowledge our podcast sponsor, Sunset West, the design trade's premier resource for outdoor furnishings. Founded upon a family legacy of fine furnishings and a culture of excellence, the California-based company is dedicated to providing premium casual furnishings and personalized service to the design trade. Each distinct collection is impeccably designed with quality and comfort in mind and handcrafted in premium finishes and materials that bring life and style to the outdoors. With over 20 collections to choose from in a variety of materials and styles, along with hundreds of custom fabric and COM options, Sunset West is your design partner for stylish outdoor furnishings. Visit sunsetwest.com to view their entire line and to locate a showroom near you.
What has been your number one challenge in these past few months, in this past year of launching your business and gathering information and implementing that information into your business? What has been kind of the most challenging part?
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt, you don't know what you don't know. So I would say experiencing things for the first time. For example, knock on wood, it never happens, but I've been told it will. I have never experienced receiving a damaged item. Mm-hmm. When I do experience that, I'm going to have to figure out what to do. How mad is the client? How understanding is the client? Unfortunately, in today's world, we are experiencing delays like you wouldn't believe. I'm looking at a couch to purchase for a client I have in New York, and the expected delivery date is September. This podcast, by the way, is being recorded in January. So like, let's take that into consideration. So I think, again, just not knowing that you should... I'll give you an example. I recently worked with Katie McFarlane from Dakota Design Company, really to tighten up my SOPs. I mentioned I really thrive off procedures and process and organization. And she pointed out, giving a deadline to my revision process. I thought, well, why would I do that? Well, what if you present your design and something comes up and the person either falls off the map or asks for it to be delayed, whatever the reason may be. Let's say this happens in January and it's now June, mm-hmm. and you get an email saying, okay, I'm ready to purchase, but you're maxed out and you already have your 10, 20, 30, whatever your max is, clients that are currently being booked. And maybe you're even looking out, you know, if a new client were to inquire, you're booking out 3 months from now.
Sure.
Well, what are you supposed to do with that client?
Yeah. Not to mention the availability of the goods that you probably included in that proposal.
Oh, you have to requote, which I appreciate this because I thought it before I was, in the weeds. Mm-hmm. People think that ordering doesn't take much time. It is like the bane of my existence, and I'm not kidding. For 3 rooms, full service furnishing, it takes a day.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hours and time that go into it. So anyways, Katie really helped me. Again, tighten up my process, tighten up my procedures, look through my contract, make sure I'm protected in that manner. I turned definitely early on to some outsourcing for some of these items.
Right. And I'm so glad that you reached out to someone like her, because there's a lot of designers out there who will like borderline provide coaching services, at the very least a light mentorship sort of thing that I think all designers are becoming more and more receptive to. And it's kind of like, it's this cool two-way street where if I've been in business for 10 years and you're just starting, you may have questions for me. But at the same time, I've got things that maybe I want to get off my chest, or maybe I just need a second opinion outside of my office. And in your case, you bring a lot of experience from a previous career to the business of design that maybe I may be lacking in. So there's always a payoff, you know what I mean, when it comes to interacting with other designers and kind of developing these mentorships. So I'm glad that you reached out to another designer and that she was able to really kind of help you through that SOP process.
Oh, absolutely. I think, it was refreshing for sure. But to your point, you are a more experienced designer than I am. But maybe I can help you also. Maybe I can review one of your design boards that you're about to present and give you a fresh set of eyes on something. Maybe TikTok's not your jam, but it's mine. It's actually not, but that was just an example. there are all these different things. I mentioned a newsletter. Maybe you need help with a newsletter and I'm great at it. Like it doesn't just need to be, how do you pick out the best fabric? I don't think it necessarily needs to be, okay, well, you have 12 years experience and you have 6 months, so you're a perfect match. And to the point, there are so many different consultants and coaches. I know Sarah Lynn Brennan was on your podcast. I love her. A wealth of knowledge. Oh my gosh. I hope one day we can be besties for the resties.
But, get in line, sister.
She offers coaching, which is amazing. And I have heard from my friends worth every darn penny and then some. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I still think there is a need for this mentorship, mentee-mentor relationship within the design community that isn't, you're not signing up for a couple thousand dollars to access Meredith Huck as a mentor, whoever it may be. Because I look back again at my corporate life, I'd always had a mentor in corporate.
Right.
Usually it was a female. Usually it was a mom that I looked up to that was successful. So I could, you know, she could kind of like coach me very unofficially, if you will. But I don't think there's any formal kind of process for that or community or area to go to here within design. So, I mean, I eventually would love to see that. If I can be a mentor to someone amazing, I know I could be a mentee, that's for sure. but I think it just, back to my comment on networking, it's just so important.
For sure, for sure. So, you know, Meredith, I'm not going to ask you for your W-2s, but I know that in our previous conversation, we talked about finances, and you had mentioned that you put yourself on a very specific path, a very specific 12-month path, and you set this goal financially for yourself as part of your business development plan, which I think is so important. And it's something that I skipped when I started my own business, and I paid for it in the end. And so I always encourage people to not only invest time in the development of your business creatively and process-wise, but also financially. So can you share with us like what that goal was and some of the tips and strategies on how you're achieving that goal so far?
Yeah, for sure. So I mentioned July 7th was my first day full time with House of Huck. I had done it again on the side. I had my LLC. It was a business, but 100% dedicated to House of Huck. I said that I was counting the first month that I started to make money. So July 7th wasn't that date. It was September. Mm-hmm. From September 2021 till September 2022, my goal was to hit six figures in revenue. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a fair goal. It certainly wasn't going to get me back to where I was in my corporate job, but I felt like it was, for me, a number that could make me feel like, okay, I can do this. I can make a career out of it. This is my first year having no formal experience in design. If I can reach six figures within 12 months, the sky is the limit. I have the business background. I have the business acumen. I certainly, you know, I had hired Katie McFarlane, as I mentioned, for those SOPs. And once a year had passed, I would feel, I don't want to say successful because I think that's like a tough word to just throw out there. Yeah. But again, like I could do it. And we are, okay, ready? September, October, November, December, January. We're 4 months in, yep. Right? Did I do that math right?
Yeah, I had to do it too. Okay.
I know. Hope my college professors aren't listening. So 4 months in, we are trending to hit that, probably actually surpass it a little bit. And that's just the first 4 months. And I attribute that, not to be redundant, but to setting up processes and procedures. And when I get an inquiry, what do I do? And where does it go? And what does my email say? I templatize a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So I try and think about the time that it was going to take me to rewrite the same email. Thank you for reaching out to House of Huck. Here's the link to a discovery call. Here's my lookbook. Right. Putting that all in a template. So when I get an inquiry, I press the button and off it goes. Katie happened to help me with my services guide. So an FAQ, really explaining these services. Mm. I mentioned I thrive off of knowing what's next. I wanted to give that to my clients as well. And then investing in the business, Rick. I mean, it's hard at first. It is so hard. I'm like, oh, here's my credit card. But putting the money into your business the right way.
Sure.
There are a million different ways that you could spend money and waste money. But really, really understanding where was it important to put my money and why. Mm-hmm. So I got an accountant. I have, you know, I utilize a software for my invoicing. Yeah. I have something for, I mentioned my calendar scheduling system, things like that, that are really just going to help make my job easier. And I mentioned I'm trending to hit those six figures, but each month it's more and more and more. So I'm like giddy thinking about what June will be.
Right.
Because I just keep, it's just compounding and I'm just building off of what I started with. So I'd say probably those would be some of the things that have helped me trend towards the goal.
And I mean, it's an amazing goal, and it's amazing that you're on track, especially like you just mentioned, early on in business, you do have to invest in things that are not creative and they're not glamorous and it's not what you had in mind. It's like, really, I've got to bring on this bookkeeper and I've got to invest in this software and so many other things that you need to keep your business going. And investing in those early on and just biting the bullet on that stuff and getting it out of the way and making it a part of your processes is going to pay off tenfold down the road, because that's what's going to allow you to not only meet that goal, but exceed that goal, because it's going to allow you to provide better service to your clients. It's going to free up your time to be more creative. It's just so beneficial in so many ways.
And thinking outside of the box too. So if you know me, you know my husband, he's a car guy, anything to do to buy a new car. But we've been toying around with the idea of actually purchasing an enclosed trailer. Mm-hmm. So again, that would be like a large expense for my business. But we did the math, and based on my average client spend for full service design, mm-hmm. I would essentially need 4 clients in the future. I think I'll have 4 more clients to utilize full service design. And we would do the transportation, and that would pay for the truck. And then everyone thereafter is now more income, because I am now not having to pay a third party to do the deliveries. Now, it might be case by case. If there's a client that's 2 hours away versus 30 minutes away, maybe we would outsource it, just because, to your point, that time piece. Mm. But again, thinking outside the box of other ways that you can really get creative on your revenue stream, because I mean, at the end of the day, Rick, this is my business. And I will say, I do still have some people that think this is a fun hobby. And it totally is a hobby. I love it. It's fun. I cannot believe this is my job. But yeah. No, this is my job. This is my full-time job that is now a career that will be the career for the rest of my life. So yes, I am in it to make money.
Totally.
And that's... You know, I every now and again we'll get a client that asks about our discount, mm-hmm. which I'm sure hopefully you've never experienced that, but I'm sure you've heard others that have.
Come on, we all have experienced that.
And you don't go to a restaurant and order a sandwich and ask, oh, well, can I get your price? I don't know why I just said sandwich, but can I get your price for the sandwich? It's a service. Mm-hmm. That is how I make some of my income. I have my design fee. And then I make margin on the products. I never, ever charge more than MSRP. I would never dream of that. But I do make a margin. And I always try and pass along some of the, our discount. But it's the cost of doing business. And that's what everyone does business for, right? To make money.
Exactly.
That's how we pay for things.
And the funny thing about that is, and I'm going to go off on a tangent for a second, but so many of our clients are business people also. So I just added this markup margin cheat sheet to my member vault, and I had to write a little blurb on it. And in that blurb, I had said that, for the most part, a lot of our clients are business people. They get it. They have to make a margin just like we do. So it's a conversation that they've had with themselves. They know what a margin is. They know what a healthy margin is, because they've done the math for themselves. And so, we're not fooling anyone. and neither are they. It's come on.
And so I will say, we just launched January 1st virtual design, which I love. It's a little bit more DIY, but mm-hmm. you are doing the ordering and you are doing the purchasing. I mentioned that actually does take a lot of time. So it's a reduced... it's not a reduced rate, but it's more budget friendly fee from a design perspective. But again, more is on you, the measuring, the ordering, the purchasing, the customer service, the intake, all that fun stuff. But there isn't there isn't margin on
goods.
Those products.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because again, it's a week process. We have our kickoff call on Monday. You're presented the design on Friday. And I don't want to say that's that. There's still communication there on after. But, I mean, full service clients, they can be 6-9 months in this day and age with some of the delays. Some of them are even a year long.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it's really important, too, for designers to feel comfortable and confident articulating, thank you, Mr. or Mrs. whoever, but this is my business and this is part of my revenue stream. And I'm sure there are some designers that don't take margin, and I would gather that their fees are then higher. So it's kind of like, which one, what is it saying? Six dozen, half away, other around the circle.
Right.
You know what I mean. So yeah, I think having the confidence to articulate that, and also having the confidence to not discount your service. You shouldn't. You should feel really confident in that dollar amount. And if you are feeling as though you want to discount, maybe your fees are too high, and that's fine, but I would definitely adjust at that point.
See, this, the reason why I'm glad that we're having this conversation this early on in your business design career, is because a lot of these things are so important. These are strategies and things that you need to implement in your business very early on. They're not easy conversations to have, but they are challenges and obstacles that you need to overcome in order to really take your business there and really be profitable and just, and achieve those big goals, you know, that we should all be, you know, setting ourselves up for. So it's funny, like when you and I originally spoke, you're like, well, I'm kind of new at this, but I'm looking for information. And is this the right way to get it? Well, yes, because in the last 20 minutes, you've shared so much valuable information that I think other designers can really benefit from just from your experience alone. And while you may still need a lot of information, to get where you need to be, already you're delivering information and inspiration to other designers that's going to help them.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I feel like we were talking about with the mentorship earlier, like, you know, maybe I can't tell you the best fabric to use on a coffee table or, you know, an ottoman. See, I called it a coffee table. Oh my gosh. but I can offer a lot of the business, you know, the business background as well. So thank you.
We're going to have to launch this mentorship program. It's actually something that I've been thinking about for a while now. I don't know exactly how we're going to do that, but I'm trying to like develop a mentorship / speed dating networking kind of opportunity to make it fun but beneficial, and not something that's just local, but something that we could roll out and share in all regions, you know, so that everyone can benefit from it.
Well, I do have some ideas. I can save it for offline, but maybe we can connect because, like I said, I've always had mentor-mentee relationships in corporate, and I think building off of them, translating into design, I have some things to share.
I love that. All right, we'll definitely connect offline. But now is the time. The time has come, Meredith, for the signature questions.
I'm ready.
And I know that you've been dabbling in design for a while, even though you just formalized it a few short months ago. But I still think that it is fair to ask, you know, what your secret to survival in this business of design is, you know, so far, because there's a lot of people that are in the exact same place as you are in right now.
Okay, so I don't know if you're ready for this. It is like if I had a drum, I would do some drum roll right now. My secret to success is don't be a jerk. And I mean that. Just being kind, being grateful. Someone just helped me with a four hands purchase and I was incredibly grateful. I have a designer, her name is Hannah from the High Point House. Go give her a follow, but that I work with in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I sent her a box of cookies thanking her for some of the information she has shared. Just like the little things, it will just go so far. So I understand that is not design specific. I thought long and hard about the question, but truly just being kind. Because I think when others help you and you help others, it makes the world go round. But maybe like a sub answer to that, to be a bit more design specific, ask questions. Don't be afraid to network. You are not too little or too small ever. And don't preface your message with, oh, I'm so sorry to be bothering you. Like, it's okay. Yeah. That person, if they don't want to answer, they don't have to.
Right.
So go for it.
I think that's a brilliant answer. It's really not hard to be nice. It doesn't really require that much effort.
It doesn't. And like I said, it is very on trend.
Be nice. So jump on board, everyone.
Yeah.
And what would you say is the one thing you know now already, just a few short months into launching your business, that you wish you knew, you know, before you actually took that leap?
I wish, well, for sure. Why didn't I do this earlier? But So goes life. I wish I had started investing from literally day one. I'd say it took me a month probably of seeing revenue. So again, July I went full time. September was my first month earning a salary as a designer. I wish I had started investing in July. I wonder if either September could have been a bigger month or September could have been in August. So I would just say putting the money into the company strategically.
Sure.
You know, it's still money, but just being really smart about it and thoughtful.
Hit the ground running for sure.
Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community? Again, I know you're kind of new at this, but hint, hint, you're doing it right now.
Yeah, like just being kind, offering people support and help. So one thing that I think a lot of people get confused in the social world, social media, and again, I'm going to speak to Instagram. I can't Facebook and TikTok. Maybe I'll have to find a mentor for those. But so likes and comments and reshares and tags, they aren't, at least personally for me, they don't like do anything to my heart and my ego or anything like that. What they do is they expand my reach. So if Rick, you reshare a post of mine, that is now being seen by all of your followers. And then if a follower of yours reposts it, that's now being shared by all of their followers. And it just completely compounds like on top of each other. Yeah. And I don't think people quite understand that, which is fine. Why should you? But just that kind of social aspect has been huge. I've gotten 100% of my business from social media.
Wow.
Yes, which is incredible. So I think just being able to understand that and like reciprocate the action. I love sharing new designers or a local artist or whatever it may be, a paint that I like. It doesn't even have to be design related. Just know you are literally changing that small business owner's life potentially by resharing.
We just had Laura Brophy on the podcast and she mentioned that very same thing. And you're both so right because we all spend so much time on social media, especially Instagram already. So what's so hard about hitting like and go ahead and share as well, or just drop a quick comment, you know, to help boost that post. Because if you like it, you should want to share it with others. And so, and it's really so easy.
And okay, back to being kind. It feels selfishly so good.
Oh yeah.
I love, and then sometimes you even get a message from that person. Oh my goodness. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing. I'm like, sure.
Wow. Didn't know it meant that much to you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, it took no time at all. I was watching HGTV.
But it feels good. It feels good to do good.
Yeah, I know. And like, look at us smiling. We are just happy, and being happy is contagious and kind, and it makes the world go round.
Yeah, they can't see us, but we're like goofy smiling right now the whole time. I love doing this. I love doing this, and I love having these conversations. So Meredith, I'm so grateful for you coming on. And just when we could see the finish line, my internet connection melted down. This, my friends, is the reality of podcast production. And I've come to accept it without drama or bitterness. I was just about to ask Meredith how we can learn more about her online and on social media, to which she would have cheerfully responded, I can be found on the web at houseofhuck.com or on Instagram at houseofhuck. So, as I mentioned in the interview, despite this being Meredith's first official year in business, the lessons she's already learned, as well as the information and advice she's currently seeking, is so valuable to other designers out there in her exact same position. I'm so glad that she reached out and agreed to share her journey so far on the podcast. I would have to say that my aha moment in this conversation was when we started talking about mentorship. That's really something that I want to add as part of the Design Biz Survival Guide platform. And I think that Meredith is going to be a big help to me in the development of that program. And right there, my friends, is a perfect example of how a mentor relationship can benefit both parties in ways that we may have never expected. I encourage you to keep an open mind when networking and building new relationships within the design community. And always remember that your strengths may be someone else's weaknesses. So there's always an opportunity to learn and contribute through mentorship.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide. If you loved this episode, take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram. And if you're listening on iTunes, please take a moment to leave a review. It really helps us become more visible on the platform to design professionals just like you. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.